Want to protect your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now, get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I work at Gearhart Law doing the marketing, and I have my own startups.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, everyone, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with startups, small businesses, and discuss the intellectual property that helps them flourish.
But we need to get on to our guest. Julie Livingston is a public relations expert and a LinkedIn marketing expert. So welcome to the show, Julie.
It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what's been going on with LinkedIn.
Well, LinkedIn is the critical marketing platform for any entrepreneur today and any business today. There are 900 million users on the platform, and it's being used in 200 countries. So the scope and amplification that you could get on LinkedIn is just incredible. And they're always introducing new features, Richard. But I would say that the most important one that's happening right now is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And they are really getting into the AI game. So right now, they have a few different ways that they're using AI. One is collaborative articles, which are really cool. So they create an article, or AI creates an article on a particular topic for a particular industry, let's say. And then you will get a prompt. So if you do IP law and the AI picks that up, they will send you articles, AI-generated articles, to comment on. And that's one great way to start showing your expertise on the platform. After you comment, I think it is three times on different collaborative articles, you get a special badge on your profile, which is,
oh,
you know, kind of prestigious. That's right. That's right. But they're experimenting with all kinds of other uses of AI as well, in terms of correcting your spelling, phrasing, things like that. You'll start to see now when you're writing a post. It will even ask you if you want the platform to help you write a post, which I'm not too thrilled about that, because I think when you're on LinkedIn and if you want to successfully stand out, you really want the language to be in your voice. So really, AI is a great tool, but it can never replace how you speak and how you talk.
We've talked about AI here on the show a couple of times, and the funny thing that we're hearing is that artificial intelligence is now getting better at talking in your particular voice. If you do enough AI types of projects, it'll mimic how you sound and the cadence and the writing and everything like that. So I think it's going to be very hard for people in the future to really distinguish between AI-generated content and their own content. I'm hoping that maybe a trend will develop where people will say, hey, I wrote this myself without the aid of AI. It's just so people know, because you don't know if you're reading something, if it came from a person or a computer.
You can tell a little bit. There are certain subtleties where you could kind of tell that it doesn't sound authentic necessarily. I think that it does come across. And I use a ChatGPT, for example, very often to do my research and to help me get past writer's block, because I'm composing. I'm a ghostwriter and a content strategist on LinkedIn for executives. So, you know, sometimes you get a little tongue-tied and you need a little help. You need some prompting. I do use ChatGPT for that, for getting something, an idea started. But then I need to really sculpt it and shape it so that it sounds like the person I'm ghostwriting for.
Well, I have to agree with you, Julie. You know, I wrote a blog post just yesterday, actually, for the law firm, and Richard looked at it and added some things. But what we actually put in the blog post was things that we personally experienced with law firm clients calling up and asking questions. And that's something that you can't get from AI or ChatGPT. But I do think it's a good starting point, especially if you are stumped. I think it has to be a mix, but I think to really position yourself as an expert, and that's really what LinkedIn is all about, right? Positioning yourself as an expert. It has to come from you authentically, right?
It does. And you know, you bring up a really great point, Elizabeth, in that telling stories on LinkedIn, which would happen in your LinkedIn profile and then in the posting and the content that you develop, are so powerful. And I have found that the executives that I do content strategy and ghostwriting for, those are their most successful posts. They get the most traction when they're sharing real stories about what happens to them in the field. And they're showing their vulnerability, too, when they're being really authentic and honest. Maybe it's an error that they made or a challenge that they came up against. Then they tell a story about that challenge and how they resolved it. People love that. It's a wonderful engagement tool. It elicits a lot of commentary. And I find that not only commentary, but you get a lot of reposts. And people even share photos of themselves in similar situations. So storytelling is paramount.
That's really great. I want to switch focus a little bit now and find out, what does it really take to stand above the crowd on LinkedIn? There's zillions of people out there, lots of posts. You want to be recognized and acknowledged for the individual that you are. And so how can you do that on LinkedIn?
That's a great question, Richard. And I'm going to say it's an ongoing process. But the first thing you need to do is develop a compelling profile that really, in an instant, and I mean an instant, like under 5 seconds, people can look at your profile and really the upper half of the profile, what I call above the fold.
Is the profile that first picture that people see?
Well, the profile is really that whole, it's sort of in three sections, I'll say. So the top of the profile, that top third, where your headshot is and where your headline is just the most critical. It's like a road sign. It's like a billboard for you. One of my best tips is not only to get a professional headshot, because it is worth the money, and it doesn't have to be a big Hollywood production, but have a great headshot where you're making eye contact, where you look kind of happy. I like when people wear a little color around their face. I think it makes them pop. But one of the things that almost every executive I work with doesn't do is use the background header area. And that is prime real estate to tell your story. Going back to what you said, Elizabeth. So use that background to have another photo of you, but not a headshot, something of you in action. Like, Richard, for you, maybe it's you at the microphone here in the studio or giving a presentation at a conference that really shows your authority, that you are a thought leader in your industry.
So looking at LinkedIn profiles, can you think of some people that you really like their profile page, where they really stand out? Who would you recommend as models for that?
Well, one of the most followed people on LinkedIn is Arianna Huffington. I think she's the third most followed person on LinkedIn, and her content is incredible. And her profile is also very, very strong. She uses the background behind the headshot to tell her story effectively with the branding of her company. And by the way, Canva has great templates that you could use to update the LinkedIn background header.
I love Canva.
Elizabeth's a Canva addict. Every time whenever I come home, she's on, what are you doing? I'm on Canva, you know?
I get it. It just enlivens your whole presentation and gives you so many great tools, to tell your story in pictures and infographics. And word cards are a very powerful kind of LinkedIn post. These are just words, but they look, you know, more than words, right? There are some nice colors and shapes and images that you can use. But those are, for my clients, very powerful posts that get a lot of traction.
Kenya.
Curious about the other social media platforms that are out there, because I know what the function of LinkedIn is, right? What would you say are some of the differences in comparison to, like, how to use Instagram, how to use Twitter? And is there a one size fits all to how you should be using LinkedIn versus how you use your other social media platforms?
Absolutely. So LinkedIn is a business networking platform, and you need to take it a little more seriously in certain ways. You know, if I was thinking of Instagram for a minute or Facebook, you would not necessarily post the same content on LinkedIn that you would on those platforms. And you might not even want to use those platforms to tell your story based on the industry that you're in and the kind of service or product that you're offering. It may not be appropriate. For example, for my public relations and LinkedIn consulting business, I only use LinkedIn and Facebook, which is negligible in terms of traffic for me. It's really LinkedIn. Hmm. But if I were a consumer product company, I know we're going to be talking about Cuticle Be Gone in a minute. I think that you could use the graphic capabilities of an Instagram, of X, certainly YouTube and Facebook for sure. And that LinkedIn would be a great place for the chief executive officer and marketing director of Cuticle be gone to have a major presence because they want to attract business leaders, retailers to buy their product, maybe vendors and suppliers. But the language and the content will be very different than what they would have on those other graphical platforms.
You can be on different platforms for different purposes. So if you are a consumer products company, but you want to say, hey, we are seriously managed here, we're professionals and we know what we're doing, then you have the LinkedIn profile. But then on the other hand, if it's all goofy and fun, you can be on Facebook or Instagram and reach the consumer audience that way.
Absolutely. I mean, you may decide when you're doing your marketing planning, marketing communications planning, you may decide that, well, LinkedIn should be your thought leadership platform, right? And your leaders, the people who are the kind of the face of your brand or company, should have a presence there. And they should promote who they are, how they think, why they think their company is the best in their industry sector, and also how socially responsible they are, et cetera. But those other platforms are the ones where you could showcase a product or a service in action. I don't underestimate the value of YouTube as well in promoting thought leadership, because that really shows leaders in action, how they speak, how they gesticulate, how they talk, how they engage with other people, what they think about. YouTube is very, very important, as is LinkedIn Live or LinkedIn Audio, which is their podcasting platform. I use LinkedIn Live myself.
What about people who are a little more reserved and they feel a little less comfortable about putting their thoughts and ideas and themselves out there? What kind of advice do you have for them?
Well, LinkedIn is for every business leader. I do believe that. But I think you have to be real and you have to be authentic and present yourself as who you are. I think it is critical to put yourself on the platform, tell your story as vividly as you can, and then you can use photos. You can use content development to share your thought leadership. And that can be serious. And it should be anyway. Anybody's content on LinkedIn should be pretty serious. It's a business networking platform. But there's no reason why a more introverted individual cannot shine on LinkedIn.
And that's one of the nice things about LinkedIn. It doesn't necessarily have to be by video or podcast. You can take some time and think about what you're going to say and how you present yourself. You can even ask other people before you post. What do you think about this?
I have one client now who's an entrepreneur. She runs a women's leadership organization. She's not so much into seeing herself, you know, in photos and video and so on. So a lot of her content is photos of people in her organization. Maybe that once in a while we have a photo of her at a podium or giving a presentation or leading a conference, but we don't focus too much on that. We really focus on the content. We always have a call to action at the end of each post, which is a question. It's a thought prompt for your readers, and that's how we get feedback and engagement.
So when you say call to action, can you give us some examples of what that might look like on LinkedIn?
Sure, absolutely. Richard, if you were posting about a particular IP issue that came out.
Bumpers on cars, right.
You would have your post, right? You'd write out your post, and I like to use bullet points in mine and even selective use of emojis. Kind of break up the space and make it a little fun to guide the reader. But at the end of the post, ask a question. Would you use external airbag-like bumpers on your car? Or maybe even something more general. What's the best car accessory you've ever invested in? And you'd be surprised. It jumpstarts a conversation and it gets people thinking how they can engage with you and participate.
That's great. We'll be back right after this. We're speaking with Julie Livingston. She's a public relations expert and a LinkedIn marketing expert. And you're listening to Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhardt.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
858-988 858-9887. 858-9887. 858-9887. That's 858-9887.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now, I mean right now, to learn more.
800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. That's 800-917-8546.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Julie Livingston, who has been talking about the importance of LinkedIn for business owners and entrepreneurs. Julie, how important are images and videos, and where and when should you use them on your LinkedIn posts?
I love images and videos. They bring a post, they bring the content alive, and they help to separate you from the pack. So for my clients, we try to get snapshots of them in the field doing things, because people love seeing photos of the person they're reading it from. But if that's not available, I use license-free photos. That's an IP issue. You would definitely. So I
don't want to be borrowing anybody's photos without their permission.
I get photos from sites like Pixabay or Unsplash or Flickr. I'm sure, I know there are many others that you can use, and you need to be careful of that. You don't want to use photos that are not license free. And then we get to play on Canva, so that even if you use stock photos, you can make them look less generic by importing them to Canva and creating your own little layout. Actually, just today, I was writing a post for a client about interpersonal communication, and I used a photo of two seahorses. Now, I had to create this, and they were in color. I found them on license-free photos. We imported them into Canva, and we had it so they're facing each other, so it looks like they're talking. So it illustrates the point of the post. LinkedIn also loves photos and loves video, and they encourage people to use the LinkedIn Live platform, which you can only use if you've turned on creator mode. But you could also import video onto the platform. And again, I think it brings out one's personality, one's speaking style, even your warm factor, you know, how warm of a person you are. Because even though LinkedIn is a business platform, people go on LinkedIn to connect with other humans. They want to connect with other people. And if they see you in action, they hear your voice, they see, you know, your eye contact, they're going to want to do business with you.
Absolutely. Kenya.
So you said something very interesting about them adding a creator feature. Do you think it's because they're trying to follow the Instagram model in a way? Just because I feel like sometimes there's a generational disconnect from LinkedIn versus Instagram. Like, I'm big on, I like Instagram, right? I gravitate towards it, maybe because I'm more of a visual person, and I do have a creator and a business page, and I feel like I try to use it to be a thought leader and an expert in that space. But in the same essence, I don't necessarily gravitate towards LinkedIn. And I'm wondering if it's generational.
I don't think it's generational at all. In fact, so LinkedIn has something called creator mode. It's free. So you have to just click the toggle button to turn it on. And it gives you these additional graphic features. I only recommend using creator mode if you have more than 500 connections on LinkedIn. Because the only downside of turning on creator mode is that your connect button is not visible. So you have to go through one more step. So it's better if you're a more connected kind of individual to use creator mode. However, it's really fantastic. It gives you the opportunity to add a custom URL in your header. So again, the top third of your header, people just, you can send them to your website, your Substack, whatever it is, your Instagram page. So I think that's a great marketing tool. You can use LinkedIn Live, which is their live video platform, which is similar to Facebook Live. And now you could do LinkedIn audio. I've been listening to so many of these audio podcasts on LinkedIn, and they're more casual, kind of you could do them on the fly because there is no visual kind of component to it. And I love the featured section. The featured section is like a theatrical marquee, and it's like a slideshow on the second third of your LinkedIn profile. I like to keep that fresh. So I'm always asking my clients every week, what do you have that's visual that we could add to the featured section? Kind of
like your body of work, right?
That's right. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or to show photos of you at a conference or at a trade show. Featured section is fantastic.
So, Julie, all of this takes a lot of time, and I should go on LinkedIn more. I kind of neglected my LinkedIn the last couple of years. I'm feeling like I should get back on there. So I have a bunch of people that wanted to connect with me, and I didn't, and they're probably waiting there. So I'm feeling like I should go connect with them, but and then people want me to follow them all the time. How do you know who to connect with and who to follow? Do you just accept everything because you assume everyone's a business person, or are there people on there that maybe you shouldn't?
Well, you know, Elizabeth, everybody has a different philosophy about making new connections, but here's what I do and what I help my clients do. I like to vet invitations. I look at the person's profile first and see if they are a good connection for me. If we have mutual connections, you know, that means that we're a second degree connection. That shows that they are credible to me. So I will often accept them. I get a lot of invitations from third degree connections. Honestly, I usually don't accept them. But I always look at the profile first because you never know. And I have met clients and client prospects that way, people who were not second degree connections. But I always start with the second degree ones.
How much time should I spend working on LinkedIn if I want to make it a useful business tool for myself?
Well, I think that you're an entrepreneur or you're involved in any kind of business, you're busy. You've got a lot of things that you're juggling. But I would say have a plan to get started that's not so overwhelming. So I would say about 15 minutes a day to start. And start by updating your profile, optimizing it so that it really shines and really tells your story in an instant, like in a nanosecond. People understand what you do and who you're about. And then start commenting on other people's posts. That's easy. And it only takes maybe a minute or two to write, but write a good comment, write a substantive comment, not like, oh, great post, fabulous, I love it. No, really add some substance to it. So again, it shows who you are as a thought leader. And then participate in those collaborative articles. Those also are very quick. They're not time consuming. All of these things together will start building your visibility. And then over time, maybe start posting once a week. I know that a lot of journalists are now surfing on LinkedIn. It used to be on Twitter, more so now on LinkedIn, because they can learn more about the subject matter expert by going to their profile. So a lot of my clients have gotten podcast interviews, major media interviews, because of the way their LinkedIn profile comes across.
Now, here's another really in the weeds question for you. Should you post your post in your general LinkedIn profile and then go into LinkedIn groups and post it again in groups? Or should you post different stuff in groups?
I was just talking about this the other day, Elizabeth. So LinkedIn groups are, I would forget about them. They're just not, for the most part, they're not active. I would forget about them if you don't have a lot of time to spend on LinkedIn. If you have a little bit more time, explore the groups and see which ones have a lot of engagement and a lot of vibrant discussions in them. Most of them don't, unfortunately. But post on your personal page. You should always have a company page as well. But most people, as I said, want to connect with other humans on LinkedIn. And they'll follow a company page, but they may not be as actively engaged on that page.
One of the things that I always do whenever we have a new client or maybe a potential new employee or I meet somebody, I almost always go to LinkedIn to check them out. Right. And find out what's going on, because they may not have a Facebook. They may not have Instagram. But if they're professional, they're going to have a LinkedIn profile.
They're going to have a LinkedIn profile.
And so even if you just have no interest in becoming a thought leader or generating content, I mean, you should, but just even if you have to have an acceptable LinkedIn profile to give some information about what's going on, because people are looking at it.
They are looking at it. And, you know, let's say I met you at a cocktail party and I wanted to continue getting to know you, Richard. I would start commenting on your posts And hopefully you're going to notice that over time. And you'd be surprised at how relationships get started that way, business relationships and, you know, strategic partnerships and, you know, interest from journalists. It's just an amazing tool.
If our listeners are not in a position where they can hire an expert like you, where can they learn more about LinkedIn, just how it operates and maybe some good strategies?
LinkedIn actually has LinkedIn Learning, and they have a series of videos and I think like downloadable tip sheets that you could look at to get info. And of course, you could search on YouTube. There are a lot of great tutorials about building your content. But I find that one of the best ways to learn more about the platform is by following other leaders who you admire. And if they have a good following, if they have a robust following, they're doing something right.
And what is your website?
My website is wantleverage.com.
And I assume you're on LinkedIn.
I was just going to ask that question.
You definitely find me there. My favorite place to be.
Anyway, it's been fantastic speaking with you, Julie. And we're really happy that you could join us today and give us the lowdown on LinkedIn.
Before we go, I'd like to thank the Passage to Profit team, Noah Fleischman, our producer, Alicia Morrissey, our program director. Our podcast can be found tomorrow anywhere you find your podcast. Just look for the Passage to Profit show.
And you can find us on Instagram and Threads at Passage to Profit Show and Twitter, or if you're even more up to date, X at Passage to Profit and on our YouTube channel. Please also join us on our new Facebook group. Search for Passage to Profit Show Listener Community, a new community space for our listeners and guests where you can post questions that you would like answered on the show and interact with the Passage to Profit team.
And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.